Hello and welcome. It's good to be with you, and I hope that you're having a great day with the Lord. I hope that you've already heard from Him and are being able to be in fellowship with Him. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for helping make these times possible with the editing and with the things that they put on the screen. Just want to thank them for that, and I want to thank you for being part of this. I hope that this is and continues to be a blessing for you. And I hope this strengthens you and helps you in your walk with the Lord. And as we think about meeting with our Lord, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for the day that You've given to us. And, oh Lord, Your eternal love for us, Father, Your desire for us to know You, Lord, to grow in Your grace, Father, to experience You. Father, I pray now, Lord, that You'll enable us to turn our minds and our hearts towards You. Father, I pray that You'll clarify in our minds and our hearts. And Lord, I just pray that You would help us, Lord, to be able to understand the facts and the truths from Your Word, but through the facts and the truths, to hear Your voice. Lord God, to know You. Father, to grow in You. Be with us, Father. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure by now when you're looking at this, whether it's morning or afternoon or evening, I'm sure by now you've heard the news of the day, and I'm sure there are probably some parts of that that have left you frightened or worried or anxious or upset or possibly even angry, and you may be feeling anxious or in despair about what's taking place around you or around us, and you're wondering, you know, how on earth we can face such things. And yet, amazingly, we open God's Word today to Psalm 47, and we read this in verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with the voice of joy. And you think about that in contrast to whatever news you may have heard and how you may have responded to such news, anger, concern, worry, despair. And yet we come here, and we're being told to shout to God with the voice of joy. And you might, it's very easy for us to hear that and think, well, that sounds good, that sounds nice, I certainly wish I could, but that was obviously written for back then. I mean, those were better days back then. Those were probably the good old days, so to speak. And yet, when you study the Scriptures, you find out that most of the time it really wasn't the good old days. Most of those days were violent, they were filled with evil, they were filled with danger. And yet God moved and worked and carried His people in the midst of those times. And it was because of Him that they could, in fact, rejoice. And so as we think, look at the psalm and we have that in mind, we ask ourselves, how could the psalmist respond with a joy and with a call to joy in the midst of days that he was living in? And it's important for us not just to understand this psalm, but to apply and to experience in our lives. And so look with me, Psalm 47, it's a very short psalm, it's only 9 verses long. But let's go ahead and read through the psalm just to establish the context for us. Oh, clap your hands, all people, shout to God with the voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. He subdues peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob whom He loves. God is ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God, and He is highly exalted. As we look at this passage, we begin to see why the psalmist, in spite of living in probably very difficult, trying times, the ancient world is a very dangerous place to live in, why he could rejoice. And it's the very same reasons that we should rejoice in the Lord, in spite of what we see taking place around us. And obviously, as you see throughout the psalm, the answer is found in God Himself. And as we look at this psalm, we see, first of all, His kingship over all. Look again at verse 2. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. And you think about that. God reigns over all the earth. And you think about that, especially in terms of the background of the Old Testament. Most of those nations that surrounded Israel worship false gods, idols. And yet you look at their gods, most of their gods had a limited amount of power. Sometimes they ruled over, in their minds, they really didn't exist, although many times there was a real demonic power behind them. But as far as the god, the idol itself, you know, they, in their mind's eye, it ruled over just a small limited space or a small limited sphere of influence. And you think of the contrast there. These false gods that those around us, is what the psalmist is saying, even though they have, you know, just a very small sphere of influence, our God rules and reigns over everything. As we face these times, as we listen to the news, as we face events even in our lives, we need to remember that our God truly is king over all. As we've stated before, we can say many things about these times in which we live, about this world in which we live in. We could probably take a piece of paper and a pen, and we could fill up that paper, that piece of paper, with our descriptions of this time. We would say these days are evil, they are wicked, they are violent. We could probably fill up a sheet of paper, but there's one thing that we can never put on that sheet of paper, not truthfully anyway. We can never say that these times, that this world is out of control. Because our God is on His throne. He rules. He reigns. I mean, think about it. We're not seeing anything He didn't tell us that we would see. We're not seeing anything that not only He didn't tell us that we would see, but that we would not see as He fulfilled His ultimate plan for the ages. I'm not saying that we need to stick our head in the sand. I'm not saying we need to wash our hands clean. If there's ever a time that we need to be contending for our nation, it is now. But I'm saying that there ought to be a confidence and a joy in our heart because our Lord is in fact king over all. And not just in the big picture of this world, but in the events of your life. He's king of your life today. He rules, He reigns, He determines what will happen. And we can find comfort, we can find guidance, we can find joy in remembering that our wonderful Lord and Savior is in fact king. And just to remind us of this, He goes on to say in the very first part of verse 7, "For God is the king of all the earth." He goes on to say in the very first part of verse 8, "God reigns over the nations." Our God is king. His kingship over all. But not only do we see His kingship over all the earth, but we also see His adoption of us. Did you notice as we read through the psalm the contrast between God's people and the rest of the world? I mean, you think about what we see in verse 3. He subdues peoples under us and nations under our feet. You think about what He said in the latter part of verse 6. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. Verse 9, the princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham. Talking about our Lord's ultimate victory there. But look at the contrast. There's the recognition, and obviously this is written directly in reference to Israel, that they are His chosen people out of the world. As believers, we know that we have been wonderfully chosen by His grace, chosen and adopted as His people. We need to remember as we live in these times, as we see events taking place around us, that we are God's dearly beloved children. And think with me for a moment, especially you parents, you grandparents. Is there anything that you would not do for your children? Is there any need that you would not give everything you have in order to meet? Is there not some situation in their life that you would not do everything that you could to intervene and help make it better? Of course you would. Well, if we would do that as weak, frail, imperfect human beings and human parents, how much more so will our perfect Heavenly Father intervene Himself? Listen, we are not alone in these days. We're not forgotten. We're not overlooked. God has not stepped back, just merely giving us a grade for how we go through these times. This great eternal King that we just talked about is in fact our Father. And He invites us to seek His face, and He promises to answer and to provide for us. Do you remember our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6? Look at verses 25 through 34, where He was dealing with the concept there of worrying. And he said to look at the grass of the field. Not even Solomon clothed himself like that. Look at the birds of the air. They don't toil, they don't spin, but your Father feeds them. And what? How much more valuable are you to the Father than the grass and the birds? Child of God, you are deeply loved by God. The eternal King is your Father. He's brought you to Himself. And we can, in fact, rest in Him. We can, in fact, trust in Him because of His wonderful adoption. But not only do we see His kingship over all, His adoption of us, but we see His deliverance of us. Again, look at verse 3 and verse 9. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. They knew that they could trust God. Even though they knew they lived in what we would call the real world, that was evil, dangerous, and mean, they had experienced God's deliverance in the past. They could look back and see that. And they knew they could trust Him for His deliverance in the present situation and in the future. Child of God, think about it. God promises in His Word to deliver us and to be with us. Think back in your own life. Has He not delivered you many times over? Is there any reason why you cannot trust Him now or going on in the future? You think about what we saw last week when we looked at Psalm 46. Think again, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. What should be the result for us? Well, look at verses 10 and 11. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Our God will in fact carry us. He will never fail us. He will never forsake us. We can trust His deliverance. Through the situation, sometimes out of the situation, He'll never fail us though. He will in fact deliver us. We can trust His deliverance. And again, that's not a reason for us just to fold up our hands, become inactive. It ought to give us the confidence and the boldness to in fact motivate us to action. You think about David before he faced Goliath, and as he faced Goliath, what was it that David said? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. And all that this assembly may know, that the Lord does not deliver by the sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And of course, if you read that chapter, you recall that David looked back on God's past deliverances with the lion and the bear, and there was he had absolute confidence that God was going to be with him now as he faced Goliath. His deliverance is of us. But then we also see something else as we look at this psalm. Another reason why we can have joy, even in the midst of days like these and times like these. And that is His purposes for us. Look at verse 4. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob, whom He loves. God had a specific inheritance for them. Obviously, He's making a reference there to the fact that God not only had given the nation of Israel to His people, but then He had actually divided that land up so that each tribe had its own possession. And when you look at the history of Israel in the Old Testament, you find out that each family had its own inheritance, and it was very important unto God that the family inheritance would remain within the family. You get into the year of Jubilee and returning to the original owner. The aspect, though, of the inheritance. You think about what we see in Psalm 16, verses 5 through 6. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. That's how those were, in fact, broken up. God directed the casting of the lot for determining where the inheritances would be. That's the idea there. But notice the result. Verse 16. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. What's he talking about? God, your purpose for me is in fact beautiful. God has a specific plan and purpose for us. And we can in fact rest in that plan. We can in fact rejoice in that plan that he has. If we, even remotely, believe in the sovereignty of God, that is His kingship over all, as we talked about just a moment ago, then we cannot for a moment think that it's unfortunate that we live in these times. Our life in these days has in fact been divinely planned. And it's been divinely planned for a purpose. And it's in fact for a good purpose. And we can rejoice in the fact that, you know, we might not fully understand it, might not see all the ways that He works through us, but God does have a unique plan and purpose for us in these times. It's not by accident. It's not just, you know, good luck or bad luck, depending on what your view of these times is. It's a plan. It's a purpose. And we can rejoice in that purpose. Yes, there's no denying. Most of us look at these days and say, these are very difficult days. But our God is wonderful, and we can rejoice in Him. Like the psalmist, we can say in verse 1, "Oh, clap your hands, all peoples, and shout to God with the voice of joy." What a God we have. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You. Lord, as we face these days, that, Father, we're not facing them by accident, by bad luck, but by Your plan. Father, that these days, though they certainly seem evil and troubling, are not out of control. You're the sovereign God who rules and reigns. And Father, in Your wonderful grace, through Your salvation, through Jesus Christ, You've adopted us as Your children. And Father, You will deliver. Father, may we look to You and trust You and rest in You. And oh yes, oh Lord God, as a result, rejoice in You. Father, be with us. Enable us to live close to You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in spite of these days in which we live, we have a mighty and a wonderful God. I hope as you go through today that you walk with Him and experience Him. And I hope that you are truly able, as the psalmist said, to shout to God with a voice of joy.